Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And as always, we got our good friend Joel Barker back on the show. Joel is a futurist and someone that I was telling you about. And I was telling you about the things that I learned from him long before I ever met him and long before I ever had him on the show. He has been a member of our Brain Trust now for several years. We're very grateful for that. He's the author of Five Regions of the Future. Also, Future Edge. He is the producer of the film Innovation at the Verge, I think is the title of that. And he'll correct me, I'm sure, if I miss that. And let's get him in here. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good to have you back, as always. Did I say it right? Innovation at the Verge?
Innovation at the Verge is my newest video, which they can check into at www.starthrower.com.
Starthrower.com.
They're my video distribution company.
Yeah.
And what's been interesting is just to see the growing impact of that concept on some of my clients who are using it now and finding out that there are a whole bunch of easy to find innovations if you know how to look for them.
So, and that's one of the things you've been doing for the last several months is bringing us some of these innovations that you consider to be on the verge.
Yep.
And what's also interesting is some of the things you told us about are not actually, they're not on the verge anymore. They're actually happening right now.
Well, that's really what's really interesting is, boy, some stuff has been moving fast into commercialization. So things that we talked about not even 12 months ago, you know, are starting to show up.
The pace of transfer is accelerating, isn't it?
Well, part of it is because they're using components that already exist. That's the Verge concept.
Off-the-shelf stuff.
Use off-the-shelf, but combine them in new ways. And when you do that, you can move much more quickly than you can if you have to start at zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. Nothing is new of the components. Everything's off the shelf, but the way they put them together is a new resource.
Exactly, it's the combination that is the innovation.
And see, I call that niches of niches. this is what I'm trying to get small business owners to think more about. Is in America, especially the way our marketplace stratifies so easily. You can make a living as a small business owner because you don't have to conquer the world. You can make a living in a niche of a niche of a niche.
Yes, and I think to just expand on that, because that's a very important thought, Jim, is that every time you create a new product, it has potential niches wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it that way, again, it's from a small business owner. iPad just came out. Already there are several thousand applications.
Yep.
All those applications are your niches of niches.
Right.
And those applications will create that. So it's a kind of a fractal pattern. It gets more and more complex, smaller and smaller. And the joke I always make about it is think about the fact that for 10 years we had women making a very good living painting fingernails of other women. That's a pretty small niche.
Yeah.
And yet lots of people made very good livings doing that.
Yeah. Well, exactly, and the thing about it is, Joe, I mentioned how stratified the U.S. economy, U.S. marketplace gets, and how we seem to find a way of increasing that stratification, all those different layers of services and capability that's there. The world is moving in that direction, too, and 95% of all the customers on planet Earth are outside the United States.
Yeah, it's... I think we talked the numbers last time we were there when we were talking about what the developed country's population is going to look like in 50 years. You know, it's going to be less than 20% of the world's population. And it just tells you where the true base of the business is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Joe, one of the things that you mentioned that I know you've been following lately is an article on what part of our brain actually is really good at creativity.
Yeah, this is
slow thinking. Maybe may nurture creativity?
Yeah, this is, by the way, this is the outcome, again, you see these things interacting. As our technology for analyzing chemistry of the brain, you know, remotely, this is basically looking in from the outside, much like X-ray, but not X-ray technology,
mm-hmm.
We can begin to watch the brain act and behave. And as it does it, we get these surprising discoveries. And the piece that I was sharing with you has been done at the University of New Mexico, a guy named Rex Jung, J-U-N-G, and he was trying to correlate creativity with action in the brain, behavior in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the old theory was it's all about your neurons, right?
Right.
It's the
right.
neurons firing, and the faster your neurons firing, the smarter mm-hmm. you are. And there's a lot of truth in that.
But you're thinking, but he's thinking maybe the slow parts is important. And I'm going to let you to dwell on that when we come back after these messages. Quick break, folks. Right back with Joel Barker. I'm Jim Blassing, Game 22.
If I had my money all over this town, then I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I belong.
Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. That's my website, too, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame, if you'd like to follow me there. Joel Barker is our guest, our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, the author of Five Regions of the Future. His new film is called Innovation at the Verge. Innovation at the Verge. And Joel, as we went to the break, you were telling us about this new research that shows that it's not just the neurons, the electric part of the brain that's important and creative and part of creativity, and it's also the white matter insulation, that there's stuff going on in there somewhere.
Well, it turned out, and this is, I think, again, this shows how little we know about ourselves. But the myelin, which is the insulation that goes around the neurons,
right?
If it is not as thick as, quote, normal, you know, it doesn't look as good as it should, it turns out people who have that thinner myelin also tend to be substantially more creative.
Wow.
So there now is a new understanding of both leaky insulation, which allows divergent thinking and different things to mix together, and really good insulation, which makes you very IQ smart, but not necessarily creative smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it shows us two things. Number one, we still don't know that much about ourselves. We've got a lot to learn.
Right.
And number two, how our technology is allowing us to ask questions about ourselves that we never could ask before.
But why is this important to know? I mean, I know whether I'm creative or not. You know whether you're an engineer or not. I mean, why is that important to know?
Well, think about this. Before we made this kind of observation, we assume people with that thinner myelin had a problem.
Ah.
Now we say, oh, guess what? Maybe it's a problem, but maybe it's not. Maybe
right.
there's a balance between these two things. Maybe we need to understand a little bit more clearly the relationship between what we thought was pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not so black and white. And that's, you know, I have a rule. I call it Barker's rule, which is everything is always more complex than you think it is. And this is a good example of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so what do you think we'll do with this information?
Well, I think, first of all, we start understanding how the brain works better. Second, there is also a relationship, and that's the old relationship. The thinner myelin was thought to be about mental illness and problems of the brain. Now we know that that's only part of the story.
Right.
And by the way, we have seen stories about people who have had mental illness problems and been massively creative.
Great writers. Well, of course, we have the savants.
Yeah, you hit it, by the way. That is one of the examples of saying maybe, we're not understanding clearly yet. So a lot of things that we have just labeled as a illness or a problem may get re-understood now, and perhaps from that we'll be able to, in fact, be
What's amazing, effective. You and I were talking about children and grandchildren off the air, to see two grandsons, two brothers. One of them is, you know, just naturally this logical, button-down personality.
Yeah.
And the other one is this creativity thing, you know, what could we build here? What could this look like, you know? It's so interesting to see how two siblings can be so divergent.
Yep, and this could very well explain it.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. All right, what's next?
Well, the next thing for me, we always, you know, we get around to energy just about every other time, and the latest thing on energy that really intrigues me is, you know, we've talked about the algae energy thing, and that there's huge potential there. Well, classic research.
Remind the audience so how the algae works.
Well, algae is, you can get algae that's 50% lipid fat. And so what you do is you grow the algae, you squeeze it, you squeeze the fat out, you turn it into biodiesel or take it on up to the other stuff.
Algae becomes a fuel. The byproduct of the algae becomes a fuel.
That's right. And if you grow it near a power plant, it'll suck up huge amounts of carbon dioxide as part of the process. So it's really
a cleansing a cleansing tool as well as a fuel producer.
Exactly, carbon neutral in that sense.
All
right.
Now there's another angle though.
Yeah. Well, we've all heard about E. coli. You know, bacteria that causes lots of our own problems.
Right.
People get sick on it.
Right.
It turns out that a group of researchers have taken E. coli, modified it so that it excretes biodiesel.
What?
It excretes biodiesel. If you have a vat of this stuff growing...
Carbon petroleum?
It floats to the top, and you skim the biodiesel off. You don't even have to... Isn't that incredible? So here we go. I mean, this is another pathway to energy independence. The other thing that's neat about E. coli, by the way, is it grows three times faster than yeast. It grows 100 times faster than most of the other agricultural microbes that they've worked with. So
but see,
it's extremely prolific.
But see, Joel, this is what I'm talking about. What you're revealing to us is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm trying to tell President Obama, we've got this capability in America to discover these things and to leverage them. Focus on the potential for innovation, not on the opportunity to tax and to penalize.
Right. Or, by the way, to support just the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make an argument. I wouldn't make this argument, but you could make an argument that we should not be drilling off the East Coast because it's going to make us, it will allow us to delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no, I actually think it's a smart thing.
I think it's not either or, it's both and.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a transition. We need to be in a transition process.
Yes.
And we are in a transition process, but I think it could be done a lot more productively and less punitively. And that's all the politics I'm going to give you today. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Joel Barker. More to come, folks. We always get smarter when Joel joins us. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Joel Barker is our guest, our good friend, the author of Five Regions of the Future. His new film is Innovation at the Verge. It's outstanding. And Joel, that's starthrower.com. That's where you can find that.
Yep.
Your books are available wherever books are sold. Your blog is, and all that information is at joelbarker.com.
Yep. They can check into my good news blog just by going there.
And let me give you a little tip, folks. I'm going to give you, this is a little present that I'm going to, that please do what I'm going to say. Go somewhere and find Joel's paradigm book.
It's still in print.
I know.
Yep.
Wherever it may be, pick it up at the used bookstore, go to the library, buy a new one. What's the paperback is The Business of Paradigms?
Yes. Yep.
Folks, that's the one I have. And you, I'm telling you, it's 20 years old, it's still valid. It's amazing.
It's at almost 30 now. Which
it'll change your life, folks.
Yep.
The Business Paradigm. You go get that one. Do yourself a favor. Buy two. You're going to want to give one away. Joel, what's that? What's next?
Actually, I was going to talk about the lab that fits in your hand. We talked about that once before, and all I wanted to do is to acknowledge that it is now being commercialized.
This is one of those transfer things we're talking about.
And that what it does, it allows incredibly sophisticated testing in third world countries at very low prices. But it also is going to have a huge impact on healthcare in America.
A medical lab that fits in your hand. It's like this this cornucopia of tests that you that's in one little box.
Yep. And so it is happening. You know, it's coming to the marketplace, and it will change.
What do? Take a little blood, drop it in there, and it gives you all these answers?
That's exactly right. And so remote testing in the doctor's room, tests that you get the answer.
What about EMTs out in the street?
Oh, isn't that an interesting idea? If you trust them to stick a needle in you to
get your
blood.
Well, they do. I mean, they do that. I mean, they have the ability to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Why not? Why not at the drugstore?
Take a little blood, drop it in there, and beam that back to the hospital.
Yep.
And you find out, oh, wait, don't give them that. That person's diabetic.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
It's when you start having this kind of access to that kind of information, so right now you can make a good decision. Think of the impact on
And isn't this kind of innovation at the verge, as you say, Joel, isn't this kind of innovation going to change the way we think about hospitals and getting treatment in the future?
Sure, absolutely.
And I mean, isn't this kind of thing going to render?
Will it end up in your house? That's the real question.
Yeah. Well, of course it will.
Yeah.
Of course it will, and it'll get to the point where you know you can. You can check a lot of things about yourself, and these are all good things. And this is another thing that I hope, Joel, can become healthcare dividends in the future.
Like trade
is a peace dividend.
Yep.
These kinds of things could be deficit dividends, maybe, or something like that.
Well, they certainly can change the value proposition of healthcare.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what else?
One last thing, I guess, and that is this is one of these Verge stories that just cracks you up. We have had a problem with our insects, cockroaches, you know, developing resistance to all the chemicals we
have. Right.
Well, there's a new way to kill them, and it's so simple, you cannot believe
Joel,
it.
Joel, cockroaches have been around for billions of years. How are you going to kill cockroaches?
This is what's interesting, and just listen to how simple this is. It turns out, if you take a cockroach and heat it above 56 degrees centigrade, okay, which is about 115 degrees, 16 degrees, it kills it.
Well, if you do me that way, I'll die too.
Yes, but think about this. What this company is doing is heating up your house to 125 degrees. End result, every bug in your house, including bed bugs and cockroaches and centipedes, They all have this specific protein.
How do you do that though? Maybe nothing would ignite at that temperature. But how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, they have a heater. They basically box, you know, close the house in, run the heat in, heat the house for 24 hours. But think of how simple
Take the pets out. Take the pets out, though, folks.
Yeah, take the pets out. But think about how simple that is. How broadly you could, I mean, that's solar temperature.
Yeah.
You take a hut in the third world and cover it in black plastic for 24 hours, it'll hit those temperatures.
That's funny.
And it's taking heat.
Talk about low-tech innovations.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
we've had that technology for, 10,000 years, 100,000 years?
At least.
Hey, Joel, give us the website one more time, please.
Website, joelbarker.com.
Check it out, folks. And also starthrower.com. Joel, again, thanks again, as always, for your wisdom. Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen, what world would we do without him? Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I want to remind you, folks, there are people sending a post around the world on behalf of you and me right now. God bless them. God be with them. We're proud of them.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.